4MKH monitoring.
KF4NXY, David.
David, just sitting here finishing my first cup of coffee. Which cup are you on, buddy?
My first one, too. Just getting started for the day.
You started around 5, though.
Some days I get up around 2. I go to bed real early and whenever.
T-Mobile, good morning, guys.
And that voice, come on in, KF4NXY. Y'all pick it up for a while.
KH Marshall here. What was that call sign again?
Time to speak. I haven't heard you in a while. It's W2JKT, Whiskey 2 Juliet, Kilo Tango, Eric.
Last 3 on that call. I can't write and listen at the same time.
It's Juliet Kilo Tango. Juliet Kilo Tango.
Bingo, I got it this time. I'm putting notes to keep track because I still haven't got all the guys on this repeater memorized yet. So I'm starting to recognize voices and call signs. So I'll get there eventually. You on your way to work?
Trip down to Anderson, but from Shelby. Yeah, it's a long drive, but it's a great job, so it's worth it. But yeah, it's a good ride this morning. No stoppages on I-85 so far, and traffic seems pretty light, so it's a good day, and I'll take it.
KFW Mobile. Eric Marshall, David, I hope you guys are all doing well.
And here, be careful on the road.
After my week in Florida and the drive back, but I'm getting better each day. Been back since late Tuesday afternoon.
Right, I'm thankful I don't have to do a whole lot of driving anymore. And at my age, I try not to get out there in the dark even. Yeah, y'all go ahead and pick it up, KF4NXY.
You guys ever make it over to Yellow Sun in Ruffin?
Not yet. While we were back, we made the trip to Florida and then 9 days later went back again. And so we've been busy with stuff leading up to the wedding. Now that's behind us. We're here until Christmas, so I guess we've got plenty of time to get over to Yellow Sun.
I'm curious, but they've got a blueberry pizza this week that looks pretty good. So they do like a pizza of the week, and it's always, I don't know who comes up with it, but it's always something that's really good.
In Rutherfordton.
Right off the main drag there.
I look it up. There was one pizza place there right back behind where Market on Main is, and last time I was in there, they seem to be getting a little flaky, so I got to find another pizza place.
They're right behind the police department. So there's a CVS there, I think, on the corner, and then the police department, and then right behind the police department. It's a real hole in the wall. You'll miss it if you blink, but they've got a good thing going on.
All right, I think today we may go over to Corner Barbecue for lunch because Chris wants to go around to the Washington Street Bakery there.
That place yet. Every time we go to Ruffin, it's like, oh, we gotta have Yellow Sun. And Yellow Sun's only open like 3 days a week and only for dinner. So I think they're open like either Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I can't remember which, but they have some pretty light hours. But if you can catch them when they're open, it's worth it.
Up in Facebook here, trying to get it fixed in my mind exactly where they were. I've seen something out of Spartanburg Eats Facebook group a few weeks ago about a place over in Landrum called Kirk's Kitchen, and we went by there yesterday, and that was pretty good. It was a hamburger joint, hamburgers, hot dogs, bologna sandwich, fried bologna sandwich, stuff like that, and it was pretty good.
Head over Shelby Way, there's also a place, if you like barbecue, there's a place called Johnny Ray's up in Lawndale. And, North Cleveland County, and they've got probably the best barbecue I've had. Blast me so fast that I felt it.
Up to him in a little bit when he's off on the shoulder.
Yeah, it was a little Honda Civic, but it literally blew my doors off. I guess that's where the expression comes from. But, yeah, my car shook when it went flying by. And I wasn't going slow, but he was probably doing at least 100.
It's fast at 100 in the dark.
Having a Honda Civic, you know, the brakes aren't exactly going to stop that easily. Hard to handle that kind of speed.
Anything and hit the brakes, you'd be 100 feet past it by the time you got stopped.
Out for blue lights, see if he gets the karma. Play with any data modes or anything like that?
I've got 600 or so FT8, FT4 connects, QSOs, but I'm kind of the camp of these radios. They're supposed to talk all of them, CW on them, that kind of stuff. You start trying to get another software and a sound card and everything else, you end up causing too many problems to be worth the effort sometimes.
Techie to set up, but I've got a 6-meter Verinode set up at my house, and you're probably close enough to hit it.
I'm QRZ at my email address on there. It's good. Shoot me some information about that and where it's located. And I'll see what we can do. I got several antenna projects to do outside. And I just need to start them.
Got a couple of antenna projects I want to do too, but yeah, I'll look you up and shoot you an email. But you know, Vera is a good digital node for. A node can run an email gateway and connect to WinLink and also do stuff. There's like an MCOM mode built in it, so it can send standard formatted MCOM messages. I think. It can do the MCOM thing, but it can also do the casual chat thing, and it's kind of a nice way to kind of blend that. You know, WinLink wants to be all MCOM, a whole bunch of other things want to be just MCOM, but this is kind of dual purpose, so it's kind of fun.
I'm a member of ARCW, and some guys in that, Charles Webb, I believe, does it, and I know Jay does, or is into those kind of things, so I ought to look into it, but I had too much building going on inside the shack here, and I'll start settling in on some of that here shortly.
Do you have 6 meters at your shack, or do you not have it?
I'm in a bad spot, but I do have 6. Back. Yeah, I can get 6 meters.
To you on the email, too. I'll just include some links and stuff. But, yeah, you can set up networks of these Vera nodes. So it might be fun to play with sometime.
Sitting here on the side of White Hampton Boulevard. It's about a 12-foot diameter tank, but the sucker must be 60 foot long.
And for a long load.
For GEG. Morning, fellas.
For GFW.
JKT, Eric.
Good morning, sir. Is that you, Scott?
It is. How are you doing today?
Doing good. I guess I copied that call sign correctly this time.
Marshall?
I'm just settling back into it after getting home Tuesday evening. Let's see, you just got your general a couple weeks ago, didn't you?
You'll be ham-fest.
All the other guys in here this morning, in here, most of us, every morning, about drive time.
Let's see, there's Dave, and is Ken in here, too? And I'm not sure who else I think I heard.
KF4NXY.
Yep, this is Ken, KN4TFW. W2JKT.
Not to you before, Eric.
Recognize your call either. What was your call again?
4GEG, Kilo Romeo 4, Golf Echo Golf.
License?
Maybe a month and a half now.
I call my 16-year-old has got his license, and it's prior to yours, I think, by a couple of letters. So that's why the only reason I asked is I recognize it.
Kind of jumped in both feet, and it's been fun and enjoying it so far. So
I'm coming up on 40 years now, so Yeah, not too long to go for that milestone, but yeah, I've always enjoyed it. There's always something to do.
Just in the attic yesterday, I no longer have a wire running through my loft and through my daughter's bedroom anymore outside. I actually have wires in the attic now that go outside, so that's a plus.
I was reading an article the other night about a thing called the Oxford Bell. It's been running on battery power since like 1840.
Circulating on the internet about that the other day. I can't remember what it was, but I think it's some kind of piezoelectric or magnetoelectric kind of effect that helps keep it going, but I'm not really sure. I need to go read about it.
A kind of battery that I wasn't familiar with, but this thing's been, I guess, dinging, you know, just got a little hammer in between two bells, but it's been constantly going since the early 1800s.
I need to call like a dry, there's some kind of dry cell, I think. Not 100% sure.
They made this thing, and then I see it's under like a little glass dome or whatever, but nobody knows exact details about the battery because it's, you know, they don't have the information, and it's been running so long, and so they haven't taken it apart.
About that, I'm sure there's some explanation for it. Only not is some kind of free energy thing.
Realize they were experimenting with batteries back then.
Phone for about 180 years now. My cell phone battery won't even make it through the day sometimes.
Well, on the internet, the dry cell is a Zamboni design, and it's called a dry pile, and it has almost no self-discharge. And it's an enormous battery, so it has a lot of energy inside. And then the bell itself takes almost no energy to run. The only losses are basically in the air resistance in the bell between the clapper and the bell. So that's why it's been running for so long. It's just, you know, the battery is very large compared to the amount of energy that the thing is using, and the battery has no self-discharge, so it basically will just last until charged someday.
Yeah, I was over there on the internet reading about it, too.
So it's probably, you know, microamps to keep it going. And, you know, so if it's like, you know, a microamp, you know, every amp hour gives you 1,000,000 hours. So it's not unfeasible to have a battery large enough to run something like that for that long.
Ian mentions the electrostatic bell, but I've not figured out how that plays into it yet.
Read, when the clapper makes contact with the bell, you know, the bell is connected to the pole of the battery. So when the clapper makes contact with the bell, it takes on charge from that electrode, and then at that point it has the same charge as the electrode, which creates a repulsive force, which forces it the other way. You know, it gets attracted to the negative electrode, and then when it makes contact with the negative electrode, it takes on a negative charge, gets repelled from the negative electrode back to the positive, and just, you know, rinse and repeat forever.
Experiment, but I'm not sure in practical sense what it would do for us.
The conspiracy theorist has got pages and pages about how this is a way that they don't want you to have free energy or something like that.
How they did it was way ahead of his time, right?
Playing with like electrostatic properties back in the early 1800s, you know, learning about electricity and magnetism back then. So, you know, I think that's probably about right with the time.
Yeah, earliest ham radios were actually a spark gap, what they're using to generate signals and stuff. It's amazing what they were doing for their time.
Gap transmitter for my 8th grade science fair project. It was pretty easy. All you need is a relay.
Receivers back in the day, 40 years plus ago, but never built a transmitter. W4MKH.
Yeah, just a small relay and an output filter to the frequency band that you want to limit yourself to. And, you know, it'll be, you know, kilohertz wide probably, but you still, you know, make a signal. So, yeah, it's relatively easy. Your filter, really.
Yeah, getting any kind of intelligence or data out of that.
modulated however you want it to, limited to the mechanical performance of the relay.
Back changing topics again, because I'm starting to get hungry. Looked up a yellow pizza place and Yellow Sun, and I know where it is now, so we'll stop by there sometime and give them a try.